Psalm 23, verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. Our fourth installment of the psalm. And I call this the Valley of the Shadow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this psalm and each part of it. We come to this part. There's so many valleys in our lives, in this world, where shadows are cast. But help us to see what you do as we walk through those valleys and through those shadows. Help us in this study, I ask in Jesus' name, please. Amen. Many centuries ago, I played on a little league baseball team. It was the end of the season, and it was a very important game. We were actually playing on another field, not our home field. And it was the second inning of the game. And you could see a black cloud coming. It wasn't a very big cloud. In fact, you could see brightness on either side of it. But this black cloud was coming right towards our ball field. Now, that's the last thing a little league baseball player wants to see. We played a little bit and saw this cloud coming, and then it was soon right over top of us, and it cast a very dark shadow, and suddenly it burst. And the rain came down, and we rushed to our vehicles and hopped in to get away from the storm. We all experience wonderful sunny days. They make us feel so good. We wear a smile on our face, our hearts overflow with joy, and then come those black clouds, casting shadows upon our lives, and sometimes they bring storms and we feel so dark. Shadows can be cast by a lot of different things in our lives: unemployment, bills mounting up, an argument with a person we love most, bad grades in school, a habit we have difficulty escaping, a disease, being a victim from a crime, some sinful activity plaguing our lives. These black clouds come in many different shapes and sizes and intensity, but in every case, shadow is intimidating. Here we have in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I think lots of times when we look at this verse, we kind of dwell on the death part. But actually, the emphasis of the statement is not death, but the shadow. There are a couple important things to recognize about shadows. Real things cause shadows, but shadows themselves don't have any substance. Certainly, a shadow indicates something bad perhaps is looming over us, but the shadow itself has no measurable dimensions, no power, no ability to inflict injury. The most a shadow can do is create uncertainty. What's causing the shadow? Shadows often exaggerate the objects that cause them. Did you ever notice, perhaps walking along a street, although most of us don't, I guess, live downtown where the street lamps are. I grew up in a city where there were street lamps. You walk along the street at night, and the street lamp overhead casts a little shadow. But the further you get away from the light, the longer the shadow actually gets, even though you're still the same person. One of the cassette tapes our children listened to when they were little, I don't know if you listened to these or not, but they were Patch the Pirate cassette tapes. And one of those cassette tapes was Patch the Pirate Goes to the Jungle. There were two little characters involved in the story. They find themselves, along with a group, in a cave, but they get separated from the group. And there were rumors in the area that in this cave there was a giant headhunter. They have a flashlight, and they're coming along by themselves. All of a sudden, before them on the wall is a shadow of a giant 20 feet tall. Filled with fright, they cautiously turned to see this creature. But when they turned around, they couldn't see anything. And then suddenly they feel this knock on their knee. And they look down, and it was a little pygmy. Where was the 20-foot giant? Nowhere to be found. The shadow had exaggerated the height of the supposed giant headhunter. It was just a little man who offered no threat at all. As we walk the path of this life, this is precisely what God wants us to understand about shadows cast by objects of evil. They can be fearsome, to be sure, to those who have no understanding about the dynamics of the Almighty. But to us who belong to Him, shadows represent just small creatures. That's why Paul was instructed to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death does cast a shadow upon our path, but for those who are without hope in God, that shadow causes looming fear, but for us who are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, death is just a little insignificant thing. Just a door we pass through to go to heaven. Same is true of evil. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18 says, And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. There isn't a thing that can touch us, eternally speaking. There's another thing about shadow. It's very important to understand. You cannot have a shadow without a source of light. There's a marvelous blessing revealed with the shadows cast by elements of evil. Behind every cloud that casts a shadow, there's a source of light. It takes two things to make a shadow, an object and a source of light. And every time you see a shadow, there is always a source of light involved. If there's no light, it's just darkness. You have to have a source of light. Clouds of evil seek to impose doom and gloom upon us by moving between us and God. But whenever that shadow is cast, you understand God's light is shining behind it. And then another thing, we're only walking through the shadow. Notice, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. The word through is also a source of encouragement. We who can say the Lord is my shepherd are a people with a destination. We're not stuck under the cloud. In the shadow. We're not immobile. Oh, those who don't have a shepherd, those who are without a shepherd, those who are wandering their own way, get stuck under the cloud, in the shadow, have no way of knowing which way to go. But we who have a shepherd know that he is leading us through the shadow. We will come out on the other side. If anyone had a right to be discouraged, it was the saints in the Old Testament. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we call the Hall of Faith. Yeah. The list begins with Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. It includes a total of 16 people by name, but implies there were so many more. After describing their faith, Scripture says in verse 13, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. If you thought you were going to receive the promises, why would you bother to pursue them? Well, consider. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, they understood that they were just walking through the shadow of all these things. The earth was not their destination. This life was not their destination. There was something to come beyond it. There were a lot of black clouds that hovered over their lives. And they're listed for us beginning in verse 33. Notice. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. How about that one? Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Boy, if you think your shadows are heavy, what about those? Yet in spite of all of those things, they continued on their journey because they were walking through the shadows. They knew that was not the end. They kept passing forward, knowing that they would eventually reach their destination and be out of the shadows. The promise says we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We dwell so much on the present. We do live in the present, that's true. And we tend to convince ourselves that the darkness of our shadows are going to last forever. That's how so many people get depressed. How our soul gets cast down, as we talked about. It's hard to see the temporary nature of difficult trials. And we convince ourselves sometimes that this is the worst thing that could ever happen and it's going to be permanent and we're never going to get out of it. But the message of hope from Almighty God is that every cloud which creates a shadow over our lives is only a temporary condition. Clouds are never permanent. Clouds are nothing but vapor. They come and they go. And God's children will never stop in the shadow of a cloud and stay there. They will pass through. If there is one thing that will make it possible for you to be sustained no matter what clouds come over your life, it is the simple little thing of hope. The hope that believes this too shall pass, and the light that is shining behind the cloud will prevail. To Little League baseball players, a black cloud was awfully discouraging. This was such an important game. It was the end of the season. To win this game was just about everything in 10, 11, and 12-year-old boys' lives. But you know what? It was a short rain. It lasted about 15 minutes. The rain stopped. The cloud dissipated. They raked the infield, and we finished the game. The cloud went away. As black as the cloud was, as dark as the shadow that it was cast, it turned out to be such a little cloud. And we passed through. By the way, we didn't win the game, but we had fun anyway. And then there's this in Psalm 23, verse 4. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We have a reassuring presence in the shadow. In the midst of the shadows, we are promised the wonderful, reassuring presence of God. Shepherds stay with their sheep. You remember from the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds are conscious of their sheep's needs, always watching out for them. Wherever the sheep are, the shepherd is there, and they know by his presence that in spite of the shadow, everything is okay. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is never groggy. Do you ever get groggy? You know that term? You know, you're sitting there and you're like, you know, listening to the preacher is kind of dull. And, you know. I have a cartoon where the preacher is laying on the pulpit snoring. And somebody in the pew said he made the mistake of saying he was preaching to himself. Oh, my. No, you understand what I'm saying? You know? God never gets like that. He's always alert. He never slumbers, let alone sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore, because he's always there. I will fear no evil. No cloud can cast such an intimidating shape over me that I will ever be intimidated, because I know the Lord is with me. You see, the light always shines. Psalm 23, verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The comfort zone. Ever talk about your comfort? What's your comfort zone? Our son Samuel, as a young fella, decided he wanted to play the violin. So we got him a violin, and it wasn't tuned. So you know those little things on the end, you turn. And I thought I was loosening one of the strings to tune it, and I was actually tightening it. And all of a sudden, string broke because too much tension. You know, we can be emotionally stretched to a point where we break. There are lots of problems, discouragements, disappointments, difficulties in life that need to be relieved. Go over to Isaiah 51, verse 1. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Here, comfort is illustrated by the turning of a dry, parched wilderness into a lush, green garden. Wilderness is a difficult place to survive. It's a place of anxiety because of the lack of what is needed. Comfort is like finding an oasis in the middle of the wilderness. An abundance of living, still waters and green pastures. You see, the shepherd will lead us through the shadow to those still waters and green pastures. But how does he do it? How does he do it? How does he get us through the shadow? At the beginning of the psalm, it expresses how the shepherd leads his sheep in springtime to pleasant places, like the still waters and the green pastures. But this part of the psalm is describing how the shepherd moves the sheep into higher mountain regions where late summer grasses grow for the sheep to graze. In order to get there, they have to go through ravines, through steep cliffs, through the valley of the shadow. And two instruments are needed by the shepherd along the way, the rod and the staff. The rod, a symbol of the shepherd's authority. Remember Moses' rod? Moses had a rod. Moses was concerned when God wanted him to lead the people out of Egypt. Moses was concerned that the people wouldn't believe him. He didn't think that they would accept the fact that he was God's messenger. So God took the rod in Moses. Remember, Moses was a shepherd at the time. He didn't take the staff. We'll come to the staff. He took the rod. He has a rod and it has a staff. The rod was a symbol of the shepherd's authority. And so God used the rod for Moses as a symbol of authority. The rod was used to initiate the plagues. Remember, he said, put your rod down and the water will turn to blood. The rod was used to part the waters. Remember, he said, raise your rod and the waters will part. The first time they needed water, God told him to use the rod to strike the rock and bring the water out. The rod was a symbol of authority. Parents have a rod. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. A lot of people object to spanking. But spanking isn't about injuring the child. Spanking is about having an object that represents the authority of the parent. You don't abuse a child if you spank them correctly. God provided a particularly cushioned part on the backside of the body that's conditioned for that. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 13, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his whole soul from death. But before that, it says, if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. It's not about injuring the child. It's about saying to the child, I'm your authority. You must obey. Well, this is kind of what the rod was for in the shepherd's hand. If the sheep got out of hand, he used the rod to poke them. Shape up. You know, unruly sheep keep insisting on butting their heads into other sheep and knocking them over and prevents the whole flock from relaxing. But when the shepherd walks among the sheep, gently showing his presence, and they have learned what that rod means, lots of times he doesn't even need to use it. It becomes a symbol of his authority. Shape up and obey. Sometimes shepherds would have large flocks. Walking through those places, ravines, paths along the cliff, through the shadows. He can't afford to have sheep to get out of hand. So the rod keeps order. When I was in sixth grade, we knew, it was probably before that, but it was sixth grade that I became aware of it. The principal of the school carried a paddle under his arm inside his suit coat. As he walked around, I actually witnessed him paddle a student in my class one time. Everybody knew he didn't have to paddle very many students because you paddle one, and you know he's carrying that thing with you. When you see the principal, That's all it takes. That's all it takes. So the rod keeps order. But then the staff. That's the staff. How many of you have one of these? Why do I have this? Keeps me from falling. You know, when the shepherd is leading the sheep and he's walking over rough terrain, how easy is it to step on something that causes you to falter? But the staff guarantees the shepherd will keep his feet. And when you have confidence that your shepherd's not going to fall, you're a lot more comfortable about walking along the way. How would you feel as a sheep if your shepherd was a clumsy person? Wouldn't give you a lot of confidence, would it? But the staff in the hand makes the shepherd sure-footed and able to keep not only his own feet from falling, but the sheep's as well. What is the cloud that looms over your life right now? Is there one? Do you feel its heaviness? Does it weigh you down? Read these words over and over again. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Horatio Stafford was a lawyer who lived in the latter half of the 1800s. He was a successful man, but strong in his faith. He lived in Chicago during the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. At that time, just about every building he owned, every piece of real estate he possessed was burned to the ground. Nevertheless, he became involved in helping others. 2 years later, the schools had not yet been rebuilt, and so he decided that he would take his family to England and enroll his children in school there. But something came up. He wasn't able to make the trip, and so he sent his wife and the children without him. Obviously, in 1871, they're not going to fly. They're on a boat. It so happened that the ship they were on collided with another ship in the middle of the ocean and sank, killing Mr. Spafford's children, all of his children, sparing only his wife. She was able to send a note to Horatio with these words: saved alone. That was a cloud which cast a deep shadow over his life. But knowing Almighty God as well as he did, Horatio sat down in the midst of that shadow and penned these words: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul, And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. You can say the same thing. No matter what cloud looms over you, the light shines. And the light will never dim. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, it's just a shadow that death casts. Death has no sting for the sheep of the shepherd. Death has no victory for the sheep of the shepherd. It's just a shadow. And I walk through the shadow, knowing that thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And it is well with my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the shadows that come. You said we're to give thanks in all things. We don't like the shadows, but we know that you have a purpose for them. And you'll take us through them. And you'll be with us in the midst of them. And you'll keep order in our lives. You'll keep our feet stable with yours. And it will be well with our soul, because you're with us in every shadow, no matter how dark, you're with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.